First John chapter 1 this morning. First John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, there's a lot said right there. A lot said. But you know, the simple statement that he's making in those three verses is that which we have seen, we're telling it to you. Isn't that what he's saying? He's added some things, some qualifications, some explanations, but that's the simple message of it. And we've seen something and we're telling you about it. That's the simple statement he's making. A lot of definition in there too. I understand that. We're going to look at that. But that's the simple breakdown. And it's important to see that. Sometimes break the scriptures down and see what's being said. Always important. We've seen something. And we want you in on it. We want you to get in on it. Everything else in this verse is an explanation of that. We've witnessed something and we're going to tell you about it so you can get in on it. Well, let's see if we can answer the obvious questions that are raised by that. What had they seen? That's kind of first, isn't it? What are you talking about? What did you see? What did you hear? Well, he tells us that, but maybe not in the way that you might expect, because you know what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about. But look how he describes what they saw. The word of life. The last part of verse 1. We've seen the word of life. We've heard the word of life. Our hands have handled the word of life. Referred to also as eternal life. Eternal life. In that same three verses, the life, that eternal life. Verse 2 there. We show unto you that eternal life which we saw. And so that's the definition, that's the description of what they saw that John gives here. It's that life, that eternal life that is said here to have been with the Father. And to have been manifested unto us. And so the question also kind of arises, how do you see a word? How do you see a word? How do you lay eyes on eternal life? How can you handle with your hands the word of life? That's kind of strange language, isn't it, if you think about it? Well, the answer from God's word is simply this. You can see a word when that word is made flesh. And dwells among you. You can lay your eyes on eternal life when that life is a person. And this can only be the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the life. If you see me, you've seen life. That's what John said. We saw the life. We saw that eternal life. You've seen me. You've seen the truth. Not if you've collected some facts and made some kind of a, you know, doctrinal or systematic theological statement out of it. If you've seen me, you've seen life, the truth, and you've seen the way to God. John said, we were there when the Word of God was made flesh. We were there. We embraced Him. We laid our hands on Him. Can you imagine that? We spoke with Him. He spoke to us. We witnessed for ourselves that life is a man. Have you ever done that? The man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what they did see, and what they're able to tell about here. What specifically did they see? What does the Word of Life look like? Well, you know, we know that by faith. And the Scripture says that's even more sure than what you can see with your eyes. But what did they see? What is it that they were able to tell about? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did so many things that and said so many things that the Apostle John said that if everything he did and said were recorded, that the world itself couldn't contain the books that should be written. So it's not about telling everything that he did and everything that he said. Although everything he did and everything he said and everything he is life. It's the Word of God. But we've seen the Gospels that were written. By God's grace, some of the things he did were written. Some of the things he said were written. And we have them before us. And we know why they were written. That we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing on him, we might have life through his name. And that's kind of what John is saying here, isn't it? We've seen him, and we're going to tell you about him for a specific reason. So you'll have fellowship with us. You'll be on the same ship we are. He is the life. And this is life. This is what's interesting. Believe on him that believing on him you might have life. So this is life that can be seen, but it's also life that can be had. Life that can be experienced. Because he is eternal life, that eternal life, you can have eternal life. And this life is in God's Son. We know firsthand, John said, we saw him. We saw him give life. We saw that he is life. Think about all that they saw. They saw him give life with authority. They heard him say, I give life to who I want to give life to. And they saw him do it, didn't they? They saw him walk through a multitude of people at the pool of Bethesda and single out one man and say, wilt thou be made whole? Passed by hundreds. So they saw that he is life and that he gives life, that the life can be experienced and had, and that he gives it sovereignly. He gives it to whom he will, just like he said he does. It's not just a doctrine we believe. We saw it happen. We saw him pass by some and save others. They saw him say to that one man, they saw him walk past a multitude of Jews and come to the place where Zacchaeus was. And say to him, Zacchaeus, you come down here. I must abide at your house today because you're a son of Abraham. Now think about this. Men argue today and debate and fuss and fight over whether or not Christ is sovereign. John said, we saw that he is. We saw him dispense life at his sovereign discretion. And we're going to tell you about him. There's not anything to argue about once you've seen him, is there? There's just nothing to argue about. Well, Maurice Montgomery said one time, you can argue about the sovereignty of God all day if you want to, but I don't want in on it Because I've been to the potter's house. Isn't that what the Lord said? Come down to the potter's house and see. Of one lump, he makes one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor, just because he wants to. And once you've been to the potter's house, or like John said, we saw the life. And we saw him give life. And they saw him dispense life sovereignly, as he said he had the authority to do. And there's not much to argue about at that point. I don't want to argue. You think about that. If a sinner cannot see that Christ is the sovereign giver of life, do you want to argue with him about it, or do you just want to declare the gospel unto that sinner that we've seen? Like John. John said, we've seen life, eternal life, the word of life, so let's sit down and debate. No, just let me tell you about it. Isn't that what we want to do? We have lost loved ones that don't know anything about life, what life is, who life is, how life is given. Do you want to argue with them, or you just want to tell them about it? The Lord says, tell them about it, and if they won't hear you, go find somebody that will. Isn't that his way? Don't sit there and debate and argue and fuss and fight over it. Go find somebody that'll listen to you. This is not a debate, it's a declaration. That's what John said. We're going to tell you about him. And the reason we're telling you about him is we want you to be in on it. We want you to have fellowship with us because our fellowship is with him. They saw him speak and it was done. They witnessed that. The word of life walked on this earth and said, live, and the sinner lived. They watched it happen. They heard him promise that eternal life was to be had simply by coming to him. Not by trying to establish your own righteousness, not by obeying or stopping something or starting something, but by believing on him who alone is righteous. This is why he came. Look at John 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. Verse 35. This is important now. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven. Why did Christ come to this earth? Look at it. He answers that here clearly. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now that says a lot right there. But one of the things it says is that he did not come hoping some would believe on him and have life. He came to see that they would. Didn't he? He came to see to it. And that's what John said. We witnessed. We watched the word of life walk among men. We watched that eternal life come to men. And we want you to have that life. And that's why we're telling you about him. We touched him, and we can testify to you that God really was manifest in the flesh. His name was God with us. This life was manifested. This thing wasn't done in a corner. We witnessed it. We saw him. We saw what God did. He sent his only begotten Son. Eternal life is not defined by going to heaven when you die. You talk to religion about what's eternal life. Well, we'll go to heaven when we die. No, eternal life is somebody. And that was evident to us, he said, every day that we walked with him. And we're trying to tell you that. We're trying to declare to you that life is a person. He's that one that was with the Father and came down and dwelt among us. How I wish I could learn that, and how I wish I could communicate that to sinners. He is the life. He is that life. He's the word of life. And if you believe on him, you have life. Christ is not just somebody who provides life or makes it available. He is life. Oh, how I want to know that. God hath given to sinners eternal life. When did he do that? When he gave us his Son. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he said there in verse 3, as I've already mentioned, we want you to get in on it. That's why we're telling you. Of course, we tell it for his glory, so that he'll be honored and glorified in it. Because he is glorified by his great and mighty grace in Christ and what Christ did on Calvary, what he accomplished, who he is. But here's the other reason. We want you to get in it. We want you to have fellowship with us. That word is participation, association, community, communion, intimacy, partners, associates, companions. We want you to be one of us who knows him and who has seen him. Well, how are we going to see him? We weren't there. Paul said, I saw him as one born out of due time. And we have a more sure word of prophecy than just what somebody saw. We have the word of God. We have the truth of God. But we want you to have, and here's the thing, it's not just about us. We want you to have fellowship with us, he said, but it's not just about us. It's not. We don't want you to come and be part of this church here because we're such great folks. And I say that although there's nobody I'd rather be around than y'all. There's just not. But if this was just a club, there wouldn't be a whole lot to it. But to fellowship, listen to what John said here. To fellowship with us is to fellowship with God and his Son. That's a bold statement right there. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to find that anywhere else in this town. When Moses told Hobab in Numbers chapter 10, he said, come with us and we'll do you good. Remember that? You ever heard anybody quote that? Moses said to Hobab, you come with us and we'll do you good. He wasn't just whistling Dixie. Numbers 10:29, Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I'll give it to you. Come with us, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And here's why. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. If you're part of Israel now, it's going to be good for you. That's what John is saying. We want you in on it. We want you to be one of us. We want you to be part of it because our fellowship's with God. Going with us will do you good because we're following him. We're going where he is. We're walking with him. We're walking in his light. And we write to you. We preach to you. He said in verse 4, that your joy may be full. When you see him and acknowledge him and become one of his people, one with us, associates with us, have communion with us and communion with him, your joy will be full. You're not going to find that in this world. People are still trying. People that I love, they still try, and you're not going to find it in this world. What do you rejoice in? What's your joy, John? This one who's saying, your joy will be full. If you hear what we say, believe what we say, believe the one that we speak of, and become one of us, come with us, we'll do you good. Your joy will be full. Well, what is it exactly you rejoice in? Well, we're the circumcision, the covenant people of God. which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in a person. Your joy will be full because your joy won't depend on what happened to you today or yesterday or what will happen to you a week from now. Your joy is a person, steadfast and faithful. If he's your joy, he's always your joy. The joys of this world come and go. They fade and flee. Fade, each earthly joy. They will. That's okay because Jesus is mine. And have no confidence in this flesh. Verse 5, this then is the message. This then is the message. You see what he said now in that first verse. We've seen and heard and handled, and we're going to tell you about it. What have you seen, heard, and handled? The word of life, the life, that eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested in this world. And we want to do it so that you'll be one of us, so that you'll enjoy what we do. So you'll have the joy that we do. So you'll have the hope that we do. So you'll have the life that we do. And here's the message now. When we tell you about him, here's what we're going to say. It's what we heard of him. We got it from him. We didn't make it up. We didn't read the Bible and become Bible scholars and use human deduction and come up with a system. We heard what he said, and we're going to tell you about it. This is just plain and it's simple. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now look at it. I've just got that one verse in my note, but I want you to see this together. Verse 5 again. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. God is holy. And the only way you're going to be have fellowship with us and him is if you're holy. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he said? You can't walk with him unless you're also light, walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see the context? He said, we want you to have fellowship with us and with him who is light. But the only way that's going to happen is if you walk in the light. And if you do, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How are you going to be holy? How are you going to be light? How are you going to walk with him that's light? There's no fellowship between light and dark. He is light. There's no darkness in him. If you're going to walk with him, you're going to have to be light. How's that going to happen? Not by you straightening up and flying right and turning over a new leaf and going about to establish your own righteousness. It happens by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing you from all of your sins. This then is the message, is it not? This is our gospel. You must have fellowship with God. That's what we lost in the garden. How's that going to happen? We want you to have it. We're going to tell you about him so that you'll have it. How are you going to have it? By his precious shed blood. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And that's what you're doing if you reject his blood. You say, well, I know Christ died for me, but I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to live the Christian life. You're in trouble. What you're saying is that what you're doing, there's no sin in it. That you can actually add something to what he did. You're a liar. You're lying to yourself, and you're calling God a liar. This then is the message. That's what we heard him say. And that's what we're going to tell you. We declare unto you that God is light. We tell you of him whom we have seen and heard and handled. But in doing so, we tell you this. Here's God's message. God is holy. Christ is holy. He is the light of the world. If you're going to have fellowship with him, you must be holy. And that comes through cleansing. The cleansing power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. This is the message that we heard from him, and he told us to tell you. And it's not complicated, is it? It's simple and clear. and playing and seeing we have such hope that, that sinners can have fellowship with God, we want to make sure it's plain. God is light. That's wonderful, isn't it? God is light. You think about all the properties of light. That's wonderful, but it's also part of our problem. 1 Timothy 6:13, listen to this. 1 Timothy 6:13, Paul said to Timothy, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do what John said he's going to do. You keep what he said. You tell what he said and only what he said. Be true to what he said. Which in his times he shall show. And this is just referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who he just finished verse 14 with. Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. And how in the world? John has stated that the end goal of our preaching is that you, everyone who's interested, everyone who will hear, like us, may have fellowship with God. But if God is light and no man can even approach unto him, how can we have fellowship with him? You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ said, no man cometh unto the Father. I'm glad he didn't stop there, aren't you? You can't approach him. He's light in your darkness. No man cometh unto the Father. Then there's no hope. Yes, there is. But by me. When Christ, as our representative, has fellowship with God. When he approaches unto God. When he has communion with God, association with God. When he has acceptance before God. We do. It's not just saying there Christ will show us the way to God. It's not just saying there that he's, that we... And it is saying this, that he brings us to God, but it's also saying this, when he went to God as our representative, right after he said what he did, he went to the cross. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What he's saying is, when I go to the Father, that's you going to the Father. Because you're in me. When he's seated on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high, Paul said, we're seated there with him. Right now. In the heavenlies. Well, one thing is for sure. We see this in the text here too, don't we? If we pretend to have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. We're just playing games with God. That's not a good idea, my friend. That's not a good idea. We're liars. Well, how is it then that we cannot walk in darkness? If you say you have fellowship with him and you're walking in darkness, you're a liar, then how can we not walk in darkness? Every thought of ours is dark. Everything we do has darkness in it. Well, John said that's where we come in by God's grace. We're going to tell you about him who is light so you can walk in his light. Walk in his truth. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4:6. To know him now and to believe on him is to walk in the light. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, when he built this universe, when he created this universe out of nothing, he said, let there be light, before he even created the sun, didn't he? He said, let there be light. And there was light. That God. I wish I could tell. I'm like John. I wish I could tell it right. Don't you? Oh, when those that you know who walk in darkness, they need a word. They need the truth. You know what they need. They need him. May God give us grace to tell it like it is. That God. The God who commands it now. He doesn't want it. He commands it. He's not trying to get it done. He commands it. Let there be light. That God shined in my heart. John said, isn't that what he said? We've seen him. We've heard him. We have ears to hear. Blessed are our ears, for they hear. He shined in our hearts. And when he did, he gave us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. You know what God's glory is? That's what the gospel's about. All of the glory of God in saving sinners through the precious blood of his Son that alone cleanses from all sin. That's God's great glory. He gave us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in his Son's face. And that's what we're trying to communicate. That light. We've seen him who is life and light, and we're trying to tell you about it. And we know that it's by that means that that God who commands light and there is light, it's by that means that he gives light. Because that's how he gave us light. The light of the knowledge of his glory, which is in the face of his Son. This is the light you must walk in, and it shines in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you walk in that light, his light, the light of the knowledge of God's glory in Christ, then the blood. You see that? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We know that that's true. We know that it's true. Now, we know that Christ's precious blood did not cleanse every sinner from their sins. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep, and he told the Pharisees, you're not of my sheep. And we know that because you don't believe. And the reason you don't believe is because you're not my sheep. But I laid down my life for my sheep, and they have eternal life. They have it. And they will never perish. John 10, pretty clear, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for a specific people. And by the way, lest we pass over this, think about what John is saying here that Christ's blood does. It doesn't give sinners a chance. Do you see what he says his blood does there? It cleanses from all sin. Is that what it does? That's not what religion says. No, they don't say that at all. And they say that it provides a chance, that he's done what's necessary so that we have another chance, you know, to do the right thing, to make a decision for him. But what John is saying is something else. He says, if Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you, then you're clean every whit. It cleanseth us from all sin. That's pretty good news, isn't it? It actually, that's what, you know what a good word to describe that would be? Effectual. It cleanses us. It doesn't potentially cleanse us. It cleanses us from all sin. Well, here's the question then. Did his blood cleanse me? We see clearly in the Word that he didn't cleanse everybody with his precious blood. Did his blood cleanse me? I don't know, but I know how you can know. Do you believe on him? Are you walking in the light of God's Word concerning his Son, Jesus Christ? Or are you going about to establish your own righteousness? It's one or the other. It's one or the other. And John said, if you're walking in his light, if you've seen what we've seen, except by eyes of faith, by his word, by his gospel, if you have fellowship with us and you're walking in the light as he is in the light, then his precious blood cleansed you from all your sin. You can know that. That's how you know. Now look at these next verses, and this is very important. It's already been established. Now let's think about what we've seen already. That if we are to walk with God, and that's the goal, we're telling you what we're telling you so that you'll walk with us and with him, we must have no sin. And what these last four verses are saying is that if you imagine that you can accomplish that on your own, you're not only a liar, but you're calling God a liar. And here's the truth of it. One of you is a liar. If you say, now let's read it. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we already know how that happens, the cleansing. It's the precious blood, isn't it? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And this is not just saying now. If we say that we have never sinned, that's a lie too. But what this is saying is, if in any circumstance, in anything that you do, ever do, if you ever say, what I just did was not sin, you're a liar. It's not just that we haven't lived a sinless life. It's not just that I can't say I've never sinned. I can't ever say I didn't just sin. I cannot not sin. That's the truth. Everything else is a lie. So the thing to do is to confess that we're full of sin and that we must have his precious blood if we're going to have fellowship with God, if we're going to have life, if we're going to have light, if we're going to be saved. Oh, the precious blood is my only hope. I must confess. That's why God gave the law. Not so you could keep it. Not so you'd know what to keep. So you could live your life, you know, by it. God's not naive like that. You are, but he's not. I am, but God's not. That's not the purpose of his law, to clean you up. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, which is every one of us, and it says them so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So we are to stand guilty before God and readily confess that in ourselves we can never have fellowship with him. This then is the message, John said, and it sure enough is. But as the publican in Luke 18:13, we plead for mercy on the basis of the precious blood of Christ. He said, Lord, be merciful. And that word is propitious. And that word is sin offering. And that's the blood of Christ. Lord, be propitious to me on the mercy seat. That precious blood that cleanses from all sin. Be merciful to me in that blood. And having come on that basis, God is faithful. Did you see that? If we come confessing, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. If we come confessing our sin and pleading the precious blood of Christ as our only cleansing, our only righteousness before God, the only way we can ever walk in fellowship before God. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Isn't that so simple? Do you need your sins forgiven? He's faithful and just. What does it mean that God is faithful to forgive us our sins? If he charged every one of us with sin and put us all in hell, would he not still be faithful? No. He wouldn't. And I'll tell you why. Because he promised. He obligated himself, didn't he, when he said, you come. You come to me for mercy and you'll have it. You come to me for life. You come to me for rest and I'll give it to you. So if we come, the only way he can be faithful is to give it to us. That doesn't limit God. That makes him glorious, doesn't it? Oh, he promised that he would. If we come to him by Christ, crucified in that precious blood that cleanses from all sin, did he not say we'd not be condemned? Did he not say we'd have everlasting life? And that's how John described him, that eternal life. In other words, we have him. To have life is to have him. If you come to God by Christ Jesus, the sinner's righteousness, the sinner's sin offering, the sinner's substitute, you'll find God faithful to that promise. You'll have every blessing that God has because it's all in him. And he's just to forgive. That's pretty good news, because I'll tell you this, if God can't forgive you without being just, you're not going to be forgiven. How can God be just and justify a sinner? How can God say, I have no sin, and it not mar his justice? How can he look upon me as guiltless and spotless and blameless and unreprovable in his sight and still be the just and holy God that he is? Christ. And that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. Oh. No wonder John said in Revelation, unto him that washed us. He loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him be glory. And as our sins are washed away in that precious blood of Christ, God is able to justly justify everybody he shed it for. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That's that word the publican used. God be propitious to me. It means sin offering. God receive the sin offering on my behalf. It's translated merciful because it's the same thing. Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. He is faithful and just to forgive. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed from the cross, Father, forgive them. And the Father can and does because of what Christ was doing when he said it. And being justified by Christ in his precious blood, we have fellowship with God. Isn't that wonderful? What was lost in the garden is restored, and then some. Because we have not only the fellowship that personal holiness affords, like Adam and Eve had, which obviously might be lost because it was lost, but we have the same fellowship with God that the Son has with God. We have the same fellowship with God that Father and Son have with one another. Infinitely sweet and glorious and can never be broken. Never, ever be broken. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. May God give us grace to tell it faithfully. May he be pleased to call his sheep out of darkness into the marvelous light of his precious Son. Let's pray.